What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
All right.
Sweet. Let's get into it.
Yeah. This is a topic today that I've been mentioning, the last two episodes, I think?
Yeah.
Maybe more than that. But we're talking about adrenaline addiction today.
Ooh. Yes.
And we got a lot to say.
Absolutely.
But we'll get into some segments first. You got a quote, Boo?
Oh, sure do. Let me pull it up. This is another just great Instagram, you know, who knows? It says, maybe the journey isn't so much about becoming anything. Maybe it's about unbecoming everything that isn't really you so you can be who you are really meant to be in the first place. And that's from Paul Coelho.
Thanks, Paul.
So good.
I really like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And true. You think about just like being a kid versus adult. A lot of shit happens along the way that you have to unlearn and undo to like find peace and
happiness.
Yeah.
I feel like that with the still like getting off of the birth control and like rediscovering who I really am. You're like, oh,
yeah.
Who you been this whole time? Just like dusting off a dirty rock, you know, finding out who I am underneath. So
yeah, that's how therapy is. I feel like therapy isn't necessarily like I'm going to become who I am. Eat, pray, love. It's just you going in and going, all right, how do I troubleshoot all this bullshit that I am and that I've accumulated over the years?
Yeah, seriously.
Should we give a shout out to all of our lovely people?
Yes. We just got to do the coolest thing. We have a P.O. box, as you guys know if you've listened to us before, and so many helpsters sent us the nicest things, and we just got to open them all at once. It was like Christmas in January.
Yeah, letters and books and jewelry and just the nicest things.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, just the nicest words ever.
Yeah.
It's like, I still can't believe it.
We all teared up.
Surreal. Yeah.
Got the tissue box out. And just
some of you guys wrote these long letters that just liquefied my heart. That was so nice. Thank you for those of you who have mailed stuff to us for just taking the time and putting in that effort. My God, that's just so kind. So
yes.
If you guys want to, mail
P.O.
stuff.
Box. 2474 in Toluca Lake, California, 916-10-0474. That's on our website too, but just in case. That's our P.O. box so that no crazies come to our house.
thanks.
But thanks, you guys. Or you can just come to a show and hand us letters directly. We've definitely had people do that too, and it's so sweet.
That's awesome.
We just bring them back to the cave and go, look, you guys, this person's working on their masters.
Yeah. It's so cool.
Really
it
cool.
It is awesome.
Do some segments.
Yeah. Do it.
Well, I have a treat yourself update, I guess, because the last episode I said I was about to go to Austin with some of my best friends for one of their 30th birthdays, and I just got back yesterday. Holy shit, that was one of the best vacations I've ever been on.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It was so fun. If any of you follow me on Instagram and saw my stories, I was trying to document, you know, like a good amount of it, but still be in the moment, you know, and like enjoy the time with my friends. But wow, Austin is such a fun city.
It is. Mm-hmm.
I get it now. I think a lot of people call it the Portland of Texas, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that sounds right.
Pretty much. So many people are moving there from all over the place.
I get why. I mean, Kate and I were like, do we have to live in LA? Like, can we just move here? It's, I mean, there are food trucks everywhere. It just kind of feels like a nonstop block party.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what day of the week is. People are out and about and like, just people are drinking. There's live music everywhere. I know it's the live music capital of the world. Live music, DJs. There were scooters. Oh my God, scooters.
Oh, there's so many scooters.
Changed my life. I didn't know about these, but it's basically like Razor scooters 2.0. Because back in the day, I had a little shitty Razor scooter in middle school, I think. But these are like motorized scooters that you just like wave an app in front of it. And then it's 15 cents per minute. And we just fucking scooted around the city. It was such a rush.
That's fun.
Your Instagram stories were so funny on the scooters. I'm like, is this safe? How drunk are they?
No, yeah. There was definitely a point where we're like, we're drunk scooting without helmets on. Probably not safe, but.
Scooting under the influence.
Sorry, I missed that.
S-U-I. Okay, nobody, anyone? All right, I'll go. But
I'll go.
Dude, I remember in college, people would get BUIs all the time, biking under the influence.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. It was a big deal. It was a hefty ticket.
Yeah, that is super embarrassing.
Super embarrassing.
Oh my gosh.
Happened all the time. So many BUIs at my school.
No screen.
So I'm sure people in Austin get something.
I'm sure. Yeah. I know we got like threatened with a fine at one point because we were on the sidewalk and apparently you're supposed to like only be in certain lanes. But God, it was such a rush. I cannot explain how much fun I had on these fucking scooters.
Was it a rush of adrenaline?
It was a rush of adrenaline. But it's just like, you're just going fast and you got the wind in your hair. And I was like playing music on my phone. I don't know. It was so much fun. So we did that. We went to so many good restaurants. Franklin's Barbecue, which is like famous. They're only open from like 11 a.m. until 2 p.m.
Oh,
it's literally like, it's like until they run out. We waited in line for 2 hours and then I had the best barbecue ever. It was unreal.
2 hours?
2 hours and it was worth it.
Holy,
it was legit worth it.
Space mountain of barbecue.
It was. Seriously. It was amazing. And it was just, we did an escape room. That was really fun.
How was that?
I love escape rooms.
Yeah, they're great.
I've never done one. Oh, I'm scared.
We'll have to do one.
They're so
fun. It's a blast.
There's no reason to be scared because there are ones that are like intended to scare you, but there are lots of ones that I do that are just like find the buried treasure or like.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Break into the bank or whatever.
I don't look for buried treasure. I don't look for a key. In my calf or something. I just picture like Saw. Like I just
they have
them.
Saw ones.
I don't
ones.
Like that.
Yeah,
but no.
I won't be doing those.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No thanks.
And so those, I was, you know, we're talking about adrenaline addiction today. Those were, I think, good outlets and healthy outlets for adrenaline because you do get an adrenaline rush doing an escape room. It's
right.
Really fun. But yeah, I just, man, I cannot recommend that enough. If you have a group of friends and you're like, hey, let's all go. We got this like cool Airbnb. We rented a house and split the cost. If you can just like gather a group of your friends and go to a city that none of you have been to before. Wow. It was worth every penny.
Yeah.
And it was just so much fun. So that was one of the highlights for sure of my life was doing that vacation with my friend.
Aww. Good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. I guess I have a treat yourself / good shit.
Yeah.
I'm getting a puppy tomorrow.
Oh my God, puppy time.
So last episode talked about how Maureen didn't get approved by my apartment building, which is shitty, and I'm still going to try to find her a home. And so one of our helpers actually had a great suggestion of basically paying her adoption fees, which is more incentive for somebody to adopt her.
Oh, that's really nice.
They don't, so that's something that I'm definitely going to save up for so I can probably do that for her. And so there was a rescue right around the corner from our apartment and they adopted a little, they rescued a little terrier, female terrier, didn't know she was pregnant. So she gave birth to 5 puppies while in rescue.
Oh my goodness.
And so, we decided like, oh shit, why not? I mean, Cam wanted a puppy from the beginning, and I told him the only way I'd get a puppy is if it was from a rescue. And I'm like, don't plan on it. That shit is rare.
Yeah.
And the day that we found out that we couldn't take Maureen, we looked, and there had been puppies posted in the last couple of days. I'm like, oh, that's really weird. Maybe we'll be approved for one of them. And so we applied, and we got approved. So you'll be meeting Maverick soon via social media. We're very excited.
He's so cute. He's what a good so name too. Cute.
Well, it's so funny because Cam's always said, like, I'd like to name my daughter Maverick one day. And I'm like, interesting. Okay. And then we're getting it down. I'm like, oh, how about Maverick?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that sound good? Oh. So you don't have to name a human that? That sounds really good idea, right?
And a puppy can't surf. So that's safe. So,
yeah, I think like hockey medium. Player when I hear Maverick. Like, it's so intense.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm all about a cool, like, unique name, but I just, you know, Maverick Mulford, I don't know about that. So. Yeah,
that is so funny.
Yeah, so
Maverick Mulford.
Maverick.
Oh my gosh.
Also, like, Maureen, like, that was killing me a little bit, because you guys know I have, like, a weird thing about human names.
I love human names on dogs.
That's, like, only a human name. So only a human name, Maureen. Like,
yeah. Well, her name would have been Susie.
Yeah.
I thought she looked like a Maureen.
She does look like a Maureen.
With the underbite.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't want to name her Susie, but I'm like, damn, she just looks like Maureen. I don't know if I could change it.
Maureen, I thought it was really funny. I'm with you. It's weird, but it's I thought Maureen was so fucking funny.
Dude, we almost named this new dog Jake Gyllenhaal, or human.
Jake?
Nick Cage. We almost named him Nick. Yeah, so I think Maverick is a good
those
are a good call.
Exclusively human names.
I love it. I think it's so funny.
Susie, I could have gotten behind, because that feels, there's something about it. Feels a little more playful, a little more puppy. But Nick?
Yeah, Nick is hard.
No.
That's worse.
No.
If you named him like Gyllenhaal, I think you could have done Gyllenhaal, but Jake?
Dude, I think
she's like, come here,
so
Jake.
Funny.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny when dogs have human names. Like, Steven, what are you doing over there, Steve?
That's funny. That's from an Apatow movie. That's not from life. Like, that's a bit.
Exactly.
But, like, I'm not a fan when it's like, this is my dog, Fluffy McFlufferson. I'm like, I mean,
what do you think about my cats?
They're cute, but they're also human. Mia?
That's true. She is named
Griffin.
Griffy.
Oh, Griffy. Is it
you
short
don't even
for
know
Griffin?
My no, I know it's children's
it's
names.
Griffy.
Who are you? Get out of my house.
Griffy, Mia, and
Bungaloo.
Bungaloo. Yeah, Bungaloo's the only non-like person name.
Griffy and Bungaloo, I think, are both.
I thought Griffy was short for Griffin. No, from baseball guy.
That's Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah. Oh, Griffey. Okay, I get it. Oh, look at Mia.
Mia just hopped up on Delaney's
Mia's
lap.
Mia's a lady name. That is a full lady
that
human name.
That is true, but it's
I know a girl named Mia.
Pet-ish.
It's not as common. That's why I felt like Maureen was good, because it's not as common.
I think she thinks her name is Meow, because it just sounds like I'm saying Meow. Like, I'm just, like, talking to her. Anyway, we're recording in my apartment today, you guys. There won't be YouTube of this particular episode. But
yeah, that's my good. I'm going to be a dog mom starting tomorrow.
Oh,
we're really excited.
Being able to talk her into babies.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I don't know how to categorize it. I'll say it's partly a good shit. Kyle's dad and stepmom came down to visit us for the weekend, which was really, really nice. They're like such sweet people, and they got us like tea stuff, and like they got us these this like card game called Our Moments for couples, and each one just has like a question on it, yeah, like to promote like conversation, and it says, oh, I like use it on like road trips and stuff, and I was like, oh, that's awesome,
that's cute,
and they kind of laughed. Yeah, they gave it to us as like, well, you might think this is dumb, and I was like, I'm all about this. Like, I love this shit right here. Yeah. And they're great questions. Like, I think the last one I pulled out and asked Kyle was, who was the last person who deeply disappointed you? And I was like, these are good. I know, they're good. There was one that was really good that we did with his parents was, what are you most proud of, but you wouldn't put on a resume? And it was so hard not to make a sex joke in that moment. I was like, don't do it. No, yeah. I don't care how cool his parents are. Don't make, yeah, don't do the innuendo that you could do here.
Yeah.
Talk about something else.
Oh my God.
Talk about a personal triumph, yeah, you know, that you had clothes on. Yeah. No, it was really nice, but I didn't realize this until last night and I was having a tough time with it. But, and maybe it's a lot of different things. Like, today's like my biological mom's birthday, and like there's all this different stuff that I'm sure is part of it. But because, you know, Kyle and I have been talking, you know, a lot about getting married and like making plans for that and stuff. And it's weird because his, you know, all his parents like know about it and are, you know, very involved, and like his family's just very welcoming. And my sisters are great. And it's not that my parents aren't welcoming, they, because like, you know, they had him over for Thanksgiving and all that stuff, but it, like, it's just different. Like, I haven't talked to my dad in a couple weeks now, and the last time we talked we like got in a fight, and it's like, if I wanna,
is that normal to go that long without talking to him, or?
If I don't reach out, yeah. Mm. But it, because it like ended badly, and it was when like I was having really bad chest pain and I was like in urgent care and shit, and he like, it just, it's just tough for me. So I had a little bit of like, I was just, it wasn't a meltdown. I just got really sad last night, I think, because I was just like, oh man, like when like cool stuff happens, I get sad about my mom being gone. So I'm like, okay, she's never going to see this. And then also, I just, you know, it's tough because we moved in together and my parents really do not support that. And as a result, I think won't ask about how things are going. Not that they asked when I moved either. When I moved, they didn't like say like, do you need help? How's it going? Like, how did the move go? Like, nothing. And it's just tough, you know? Like, it's tough to feel like your partner has this like very supportive family and you have, you know, at least in part, people in your life that are a little more conditional with their love and support. And yeah. You know, my parents aren't like bad people or anything. They're good people, but yeah, I just have a little bit more of a complicated relationship with my parents than he does. Mm-hmm. And you know, on the one hand, I was talking to Delaney about this on the way over. Like, it's nice that you get to kind of like enjoy these people in your family now too. Yeah. But you know, there's just a little bit of just a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that's something I'm going to have to deal with in therapy, I think, and continue to deal with. And I think I'm in a much better place with it than I have been in the past. And we get so many emails from people who grew up religious or have parents that don't approve of what they're doing with their lives or whatever else. And, I really appreciate people reaching out, 'cause it makes me feel like way less alone. But, yeah, you know, it's good to be aware of what's affecting you and why it is affecting you. And, sometimes even really great, cool things can make you sad.
Yeah.
So that was a sort of good shit maybe to fuck. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but that's where I'm at this week.
I'm sorry, boo.
It's all right.
Yeah. I think it's when it's so kind of right in your face like that, when there's such a very clear comparison, because I know that certainly happened with me and Cam in the beginning too, as I started comparing our family situations. I'm hoping that will get better with time. I know it has for me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully like down the road when you look back, it's just like, you know, everybody's just like a big happy family. And I think this stuff that's going on with your parents will hopefully no longer be a thing. Like, once you guys are married and all that stuff, it's like, hopefully they never even fucking bring it up again.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah.
It's tough to feel like they, I don't know. I feel like my dad at least is expecting and more than expecting, almost hoping for it to blow up in my face, moving in with Kyle, which sucks. Like, because if we get married and it works out,
then they were wrong.
Right. You know, and that's going to be, or maybe they won't ever say they're wrong, but it's right. like,
yeah,
it's not supposed to work out. Like, the reason they believe that is because it's not healthy. It's not good for you to do that, to move in and, or to have sex before marriage and all that stuff. But, yeah. And the fact that it is for me, I just don't know how that's going to go, or if they're going to be sort of dismissive, or I just don't know.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. That's so complicated when it's like, logically, you know, that is not true, mm-hmm. and that is not what your life is, but that the people you want that approval from it's your family. It's mm-hmm. not just like some random person on Instagram who left a shitty comment or right. something that you can just be like, well, whatever, fuck them.
Yeah.
It's your parents, and like, you innately want that. And that's, I think, a huge struggle for all of us as we get older, is like finding out like what that relationship is and mm-hmm. where you draw that line of like, okay, I'm comfortable with them being in my life this quantity and this mm-hmm. amount. And then the rest of it, I have to like guard, because it's my life, it's not their life. And especially in that case where like your parents have very different beliefs than you do.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's another layer.
Yeah. It's a weird thing where you like grow up under your parents' care and you are always seeking their approval, because like, you kind of have to if you live with them. And then at some point as an adult, you're like, wait, I don't have to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm my own person now. And it's really weird, again, kind of going back to the quote, to like unlearn everything that you learned by growing up with people.
Yeah.
Very strange, but
yeah, that's been a big focus in therapy for me the last few weeks, is like unlearning that idea that you have to make them happy, because like, that's what was put on me specifically, at least, was like, mm-hmm. I was responsible for their happiness. And it was kind of like, you know, going back and forth between the two houses with my parents' divorce. And it was like, my presence was what was like required to make them feel happy and mm-hmm. to be like, but now I'm an adult and I don't want to keep like dividing myself up into little pie pieces and like trying to check off everybody's box of like, okay, I saw this person at the holidays, I also saw that person at the holidays. Did I not disappoint anybody? It's like, fuck, no wonder holidays can feel so exhausting as an adult, especially like if you come from divorce. It's a lot. So I'm learning more and more to, I don't know, it feels weird to be like selfish, but just to know that like, that's not on me to make them happy. Like, they are their own people. They can be happy on their own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be somebody's like purpose. That's a lot of pressure to put on people.
Yeah.
It's like, you're my purpose for living. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I remember you talking about that with your mom and you being an only child. And I'm sure that's like a whole unique set of things you've dealt with too.
And it's a lot of pressure, and she never even has to say those things, but I feel that pressure where it's like every little thing I do affects her, and I want to make her proud and happy, but it's also not my job. Like you said, Kelsey, it's not my job, and everybody's responsible for their own happiness.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sorry, this is a deep segment, but you know, again, all coming from great things.
Yeah. You know, it's so nice that you're going to marry into such a great family.
Right.
And, you know, that it's like, it's kind of focusing on that, the gratefulness aspect, you know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you could be going into a really crazy situation.
So then, true.
You know? So
and
it's like,
my family's not like, I have a nice family.
Yeah, it's totally.
It's just there's specifically, you know, the religious stuff with my parents is mostly what it is. But
and I love my family too. They're just not all, you know, like a unit the way the Mulfords are, you know?
Yeah. I've come to see it as like, you make your core family, you make your own family with your partner and stuff. And then like, any in-laws and any of that shit, that's just a bonus. Like, if you get a few people that you like really hit it off with and are cool, like, nice. Didn't have them in my life before. That's great.
Yeah.
If not, doesn't fucking change my life, because I didn't need you before anyway. You know what I mean? So.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the meat, because I am so fascinated. I don't know anything about adrenaline addiction. This is something that Kelsey has been researching a lot and has been bringing up for the last few weeks. And I mean, I'm so excited to find out more about this.
We've glazed over it in the Workaholics Anonymous workaholism episode. If you're interested in this, you can always listen back to that one. But now we're really going to get more specific with it. So.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Kelsey, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah. I feel like with adrenaline addiction, if it's something that resonates with you, once you figure it out and just see it, like, you can't unsee it, which I think is really helpful, because then it kind of pushes you to keep getting help with it. Whereas all these years, like, I didn't understand that that was what the driving force was for me, making these kind of, like, I don't know, manic decisions and just keeping myself busy all the time. I didn't realize that there was like a substance beneath it, because adrenaline is, it's a chemical and it's a, like a drug in your body that you are making. And if you kind of get hooked on it, then you just want more and more. So
are there any like hard drugs that people with adrenaline addiction like fall prey to using?
You know, I'm not sure about that, but I do know that like, they've done studies for rock climbers, like people who do like really intense like mountain climbing and stuff like that, go through the same sort of withdrawal symptoms after they stop climbing that like a drug addict does.
Interesting. So do you think that's part of why, like, if we don't do stand up for too long, we start getting sad and anxious?
Yes.
And
oh yeah.
Interesting.
Totally. Okay. And there's so much stuff about it. I'm so excited to talk about it. So this is from tablegroup.com. I found a really cool article. It says, executives with adrenaline addiction are the ones always pecking away at their BlackBerries during meetings, talking on their cell phones during every 5-minute break of those meetings, and checking emails late at night. They go from meeting to meeting to meeting with no time in between for reflection or thought. Always overwhelmed, adrenaline junkies seem to have a constant need for urgency, even panic, to get them through the day. They cannot grasp the race driver's motto, you have to slow down to go fast. Instead, they keep their foot on the pedal at full throttle, convinced that any deceleration is a lost opportunity. Like an alcoholic after a night of binge drinking, an adrenaline addict will often sit at home at night wondering how life became so chaotic and vowing to take back control the next day. And then that day begins and their addiction kicks in, giving them a sense of comfort even as it hurts them. So that was like really interesting to me. Like, even though it's hurting you, you keep doing it because it's like what you know, and it fulfills that rush. Yeah. They also say there is something particularly insidious about adrenaline addiction that makes it hard for many leaders to kick the habit. Unlike other addicts whose behaviors are socially frowned upon, adrenaline addicts are often praised for their frantic activity, even promoted for it during their careers. Mm-hmm. And so they often wear their problem like a badge of honor, failing to see it as an addiction at all in spite of the pain it causes. So I know that you talked about that, Delaney, with going to the Workaholics Anonymous meetings and working through your workbook.
Yeah, I think it's really important to know that like adrenaline addiction doesn't necessarily mean that you're like friggin' pushing a car up a hill every day. It can be really, really small tasks that build up in your mind, you know, that you're like, I used to wake up and every day felt like it was a race against the clock.
Yes.
You know, it's like, how much can I get done today? Boom, here's my checklist. Ready, set, go.
Yes.
Like no moment to breathe or reflect or to eat a lunch, a healthy lunch, you know, nothing. So it's like, I think it's really, people need to know that this adrenaline issue can be something very small. And it doesn't have to be around work or athletics or anything like that. It can also just be you at home making all kinds of weird to-do lists for yourself.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you feel like that's the same thing, though? Or do you feel like that's more workaholism? I know they're kind of, they're intertwined. Yeah, they're married.
Yeah.
But is it possible to have adrenaline addiction without workaholism and workaholism without adrenaline addiction? Because I don't know. The impression I get from you is that yours comes from like, you feel like your worth is in what you accomplish, which is the workaholism, or you feel like you have to be, you know, get, and I feel that with you too, Kels, but I don't feel like you're addicted to like necessarily like a rush of excitement, like in this, like that you want to be home all the time. You don't want to perform. Like,
well, I manage it now.
You do. Okay.
I suffer with what Kelsey does, but okay. I've made some major changes where it almost makes it harder for me to get the adrenaline rush. So basically, like, by definition, workaholism is basically, it's a process and a substance addiction. So I don't know if you can be a workaholic without adrenaline addiction, because it coincides. So
yeah,
the process is overworking or overdoing, and the substance is adrenaline. And then, you know, basically as a workaholic, you're operating on the flight or fight response, leading to like cortisol, norepinephrine, and adrenaline releasing in your body, which can lead to heart attack and diabetes and, you know, lowered immune system and gastrointestinal problems, all this stuff. So for me, it's like, once I realized what was going on and I could put a name to it, I was like, holy shit, this is definitely what my problem is.
Right.
Along with some other books and stuff that we had been reading, but that was like a big problem. And I remember talking to my mom about it, and like, well, she was like, you know, there's addiction in the family. Like, this is an addiction. This sounds, I mean, she might be an addict in some way, and other people in my family, don't take this lightly.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I guess it makes sense. I've been around addictive behavior and tendencies and stuff. And like, we've talked about, this is like a glorified addiction.
Yeah. Yes.
The harder you work, like the more prestige that you get, it's like people really, value that. And it, yeah. So
yeah.
Kelsey, you had more. I mean, I have a ton more, but go ahead. Back to stuff.
They say that for a lot of people, adrenaline can start to get addictive in school. Like when we're so young, because of being given assignments and then procrastinating. Yeah. Procrastinating is like such a quick tool for adrenaline, because you push until the last minute and then you get this huge surge of like, oh my God, I actually have to get it done in the next 3 hours.
Yeah.
And once you accomplish it, it kind of like encourages you to keep doing it, because you pulled it off. Like, you were able to do it and you gave yourself that rush. So they say that school is like a really easy first place to start to get that. I know for me too, I've been talking about it in therapy, that being in that kind of chaotic environment growing up, where I was going back and forth between two households, that was like a little bit of an adrenaline there, because there just wasn't a lot of stability. There wasn't like a typical baseline routine. It was like there was something always going on.
Right.
I always had like a changing schedule. So I have a list from ashwoodrecovery.com. These are activities that can often produce adrenaline. Driving unsafely. I know I mentioned that when I first got a driver's license, I got several speeding tickets, because I was just like, oh my God, like I get to just like go fast. And it's, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people go through that. So driving unsafely, having sex too quickly, or having unsafe sex, which is also something I have done, where I've had sex like very quickly in relationships, except for my first one. But yeah, I haven't had, I don't want to say I've had unsafe sex, but I definitely like jumped the gun on having sex in relationships, pretty early on. Extreme sports like rock climbing, motorcycle racing, and skydiving. Those are like the more obvious ones. Lying, gambling, stealing, abusing alcohol or drugs, picking a fight, having an argument, debating controversial issues, and then working after procrastination.
I don't feel like you do any of those shitty ones. Procrastinating, maybe.
Yeah,
but
procrastinating is a big one.
The other ones, I don't feel like you lie.
No, I don't lie. There have been definitely like times in my relationship with Kane though, where like I'm more prone to picking fights. This is a more like a deeper dive into that particular thing. By causing conflict, instigating arguments, creating drama, and even exploding at other people in anger or frustration, we get an adrenaline kick. Research has shown that the brain gets both a dopamine and adrenaline rush from being right in an argument, which is kind of interesting. You're talking about your family, Tay, and how like your dad is like waiting to be right.
Yeah.
In situations of high stress, fear, or distress, the hormone and neurotransmitter cortisol floods the brain. When you argue and win, your brain floods with different hormones, adrenaline and dopamine, which makes you feel good, dominant, and even invincible. It's the feeling any of us would want to replicate. So the next time we're in a tense situation, we fight again. We get addicted to being right.
No, I get that part. I mean, that's everybody. If you're like, oh, that's me, that's all of us.
Yeah,
we all like to win.
Yeah.
I talked to a friend of mine about that, where like, she's like, I've gotten in fights before. And if like he gets really upset, like my partner, then I feel better.
Whoa.
Which is like,
yeah,
but that makes sense. That it's because it's you being right. If they feel bad about what they did, then it's you being like, you're like, okay, yeah, I can calm down now because
yeah,
I get that rush of correctness.
And kind of like what you were saying, Tay, with like an adrenaline addiction versus workaholism, and uh-huh, if they're mutually exclusive. I thought this was interesting. It says, while not the most dramatic sign of adrenaline addiction, having a packed schedule and rushing around is perhaps one of the most common signs that adrenaline mm-hmm has become an issue in your life. This is not to say that every businesswoman or soccer dad that runs from morning to night is necessarily an adrenaline junkie. The sign is more in how you handle a busy schedule. Those who are busy by necessity will be grateful for a break when they get a weekend morning to sleep in, or relaxing evening with their loved ones. An adrenaline junkie, in contrast, will continually add more to their schedule or list of responsibilities if things begin to slow down. Mm. Nearly everyone has busy seasons in their life, but when adrenaline addiction is an issue in your life, this busyness may continue unabated for years at a time. Mm-hmm. To give some perspective on what this looks like, we can turn to the personal story of an elementary school principal. She says, long hours came with the territory. I thought nothing of putting in 10 hours in school and then doing more when I got home each evening. Most of my weekend time was spent working too. I loved seeing my pupils thrive, but I didn't realize the toll it was taking on my health. Eventually, I suffered burnout. I decided to leave education and take my life in a different direction. I thought I'd be happy and relaxed, but instead I fell into depression and anxiety. Yeah. I was experiencing the classic symptoms of adrenaline addiction and withdrawal. So
wow, yeah,
when you're like, when we don't do stand up and we feel depressed and anxious, it's really hard. It's like, it's yeah, hard to get clean or whatever, yeah, because you just feel empty and bored and mm-hmm, you can feel depressed and anxious. And so you're like, well, I guess I'll just stay busy to avoid this feeling.
Totally. Yeah. I remember even as a kid, like if there was a day that we didn't have anything going on, my mom said that I would kind of just like walk around the home and like not know what to do with myself. And like, wow, why don't you just sit and relax, you know, whatever. I couldn't do it. I'm like, it feels weird not doing something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was so helpful learning about this because now I'm able to identify it, take a moment, address it and like figure it out. So I'm still doing this, even though I'm like working from home and I've taken a lot of stuff off my plate, but I will like be racing up and down my stairs in my apartment by myself doing this and then going down and doing this. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just take your time. And like, yeah, then I look and it's almost like everything has to be done immediately. And I'm like, no, let's take a look at the schedule. This can be done today. This can wait till tomorrow. Yeah. I have to constantly remind myself that it's not, you know, everything feels urgent. Like,
yeah,
that's my instinct. And then I have to remind like, okay, this is the problem. Like, yeah, I got to talk myself down constantly. But when you don't know what's going on, you're just running around thinking this is how you are. And like, this is, you know, what yeah, you should be doing. And yeah. So how have you been doing with that now?
I don't know. It goes up and down. I'm meditating more and more, which was one of my New Year's resolutions, was to meditate once a day. And that is helpful because, I mean, it's proven to like actually change your brain, which is, you know, I always joke about like, I need a fucking lobotomy if I'm going to be a different person.
Yeah.
But meditating is about as close as I can get without getting on medication.
Yeah.
Because one of the activities that they have you do while you're meditating is to notice if your brain wanders, if it's a thought or if it's a feeling, and then if that thought or feeling is positive, negative, or neutral, and then you just let it go and you go back to your breathing. And then like another thought comes in and you just keep doing that. So it's all about that, like, you know, like you said, Delaney, pausing to realize what is happening.
Right.
And in that way you can actually like process shit, because so much of this of having these crazy schedules is that you don't build in time to reflect.
Yeah.
Which to me was never a thing that I thought you were supposed to do.
Right.
Where do you write reflect on your to-do list? That sounds fucking weird. Go to the grocery store, like upload a podcast, reflect. Like who fucking writes that? That would be so weird to me. But it's true. You do need pockets of time throughout your day to just like sit and think about what you just did. Yeah. Like what?
And you should schedule it.
Exactly.
Like you should write it down. You
exactly
know, you should. Yeah, you should plan it like anything else on your to-do list. Absolutely. Because I got to the point where I was on Carla's podcast yesterday, and was asking me, like, when you felt like when you felt like you were crazy, what were you doing? And I'm like, oh, I was writing a movie. I was doing stand up. I was doing improv. I was doing the podcast. And she's like, and also, didn't you have a day job? I'm like, oh yeah, and I had a day job. Yeah. And she's like, and I got to the point where I didn't even know what I liked because I wasn't reflecting, and I wasn't taking time to even think, do I actually enjoy this? It was just one thing to the next.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then I realized that most of the things that I was doing, I didn't even actually like doing.
Wow.
And then I just had to slowly chip away. I got rid of one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And now my new rule is that I cannot have more than two jobs at once. I can have two jobs. So I have Dicks by Delaney and Self Helpless. And then if there's another third project that's going to be more temporary, great. But like, if a third job is coming in, I have to figure something else out.
Wow.
I have to figure out what's going to be my priority, and the other one is going to have to kind of take a back seat. So, yeah, it's all about managing it, and it doesn't, you know, it's like any other addiction. You don't read one Alcoholics Anonymous book and then stop going to Alcoholics Anonymous, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is an everyday practice.
It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, adrenaline needs to be an everyday practice too, or workaholism is also.
Yeah. I think that's the hard part, is like, it's so easy to let it slip your mind and just get right back into being a chicken with its head cut off running around because you can't like physically see it. You'd like, you know, you didn't hide the bottle from yourself. It's like, I feel like I almost need to take like a bottle and write like adrenaline on it and like make like a conscious effort of like, okay, you're like avoiding this today or whatever.
I do feel like both of you have gotten so much better at slowing down in the it's almost 2 years now. Has it been 2 years since we all started working together?
Yeah, it's been
2 years. I mean,
yeah.
Even in the last year, I know we talked about it on our resolutions episode, but like, if you look at where we were at, when I look back at those pictures we took at your old apartment, Delaney, on that Christmas that we all started smoking weed, that like, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, we were all so burnt out. Mm-hmm. Delaney was kind of discovering how much she loved being home and like not wanting to perform, but it was like the very beginning of that. And that was only like a year ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Go ahead, Kelsey.
I just say there were times where we would get done recording, especially on days where we would try and do like three in one day.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I just felt out of my mind. I was like, I just have to go. Like, I have to get out of here because like, I can't do anymore. Yeah. I feel like I'm losing it.
Yeah.
So
you get that crazy, like brain fog. I remember not being able, if I wasn't looking at my calendar, I would have no idea where I was supposed to be that day or the next day or the rest of the week. I couldn't remember anything. And I knew it was a big problem when I told you guys that like I had set up a lunch meeting with somebody that was idea.
Oh,
and it was something that was rather important to me to go get, and completely slipped my mind.
Oh yeah.
And then getting a voicemail like that, he was waiting for me. And I'm like, oh my God, I completely forgot. I would have never thought about this again because I just there's too many thoughts in my brain. Mm-hmm. And now I feel really good to be able to not have to look at my calendar and be like, I know exactly what I have to do Friday, and it's Tuesday, you know.
And it's
because I've really tried to clear my schedule and change my scheduling habits, you know.
Yeah.
But man, it's tough. It's constant. It's a constant battle.
Yeah. I have a list of the different types of adrenaline addicts, which I thought was helpful because I hadn't seen anything like this before. So there are four. Number one, the accomplisher. This is the classic type of adrenaline addict, the one who has an almost innate need to stay busy and cross things off a list in order to feel productive.
Ooh, who's that?
Yeah. Ooh, who that? Ooh, who that be, huh? I don't know. I don't think I've ever met that person.
What? That's a to-do list.
They like to be able to measure daily progress in terms of what they have completed, even at the expense of the bigger, longer-term view. Accomplishers are most susceptible to developing an adrenaline addiction because they are prone to take on more and more work. So that's number one, the accomplisher. Number two, the personal deflector. I thought this was really fascinating. This is the type that uses their addiction to keep from assessing themselves and reflecting on their situation.
Mm.
They often have problems in their personal lives or no personal life at all. And the last thing they want to do is face up to that. So they convince themselves that they have no time for their personal lives, which sadly only exacerbates the problem and prolongs the pain of dealing with it.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I think, I mean, I feel like you can maybe be all four of these types or like a combination of a
few. Yeah, or at certain times in your life, you might be more one than the other.
Totally. Number three, the organizational deflector. This type is like the previous one, except that the issue being avoided is trouble within the organization. Oftentimes a CEO, hello, fire festival. I believe this is what was happening there. Oftentimes a CEO or senior executive of a struggling company convinces themselves and others that they are too busy to stop and take an honest look at the company situation.
Oh, God.
It's just making me laugh. I just watched the Fire Festival.
Is that good?
Oh, my God. You
Everybody's
guys have to watch
like
it.
Everybody's freaking out about it.
You have to watch it.
I'm going
to
watch that.
I didn't watch the one on Hulu. I watched the one on Netflix. And it's just a fun ride of just watching people absolutely shit the bed. It's just fun. It's fun to watch it from the comfort of your own home and be like
safe. And,
I didn't do that.
Have you guys watched the Ted Bundy documentary?
No, I can't.
I can't watch
it. It's so good. Oh my God. It's great. Like, okay.
Can you sleep at night afterward?
I can sleep at night because he's dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Spoiler alert. but like, it's crazy because I started watching it just as like, all right, I'll probably get bored of this because I feel like I know enough about Ted Bundy. And then I got in there and I was like, I don't know anything. Like, it's crazy, all the shit that he did. When you forget that it's like in like the 70s, so that they kept saying like, we didn't have the technology. Like, I know it seems now, like, how did you not get it? Mm-hmm. But like, this was 70 whatever. And it's like, oh, that makes sense. Like, how he got away with like, it's crazy though. It's so crazy. Like, what a psycho. It's
wow.
Oh my gosh. It's so interesting. Psycho.
Dude, have you guys been watching Leah Remini's The Aftermath, Scientology?
No, I want to watch that.
It's freaking phenomenal.
It is HBO.
So well done. Okay. I watched it on Hulu, I think. And then Kim put something else on for me. Now I'm watching the third season on something else. I think it might be HBO. I don't know. He sets it up for me and then I watch it on my computer.
He is like your hospice, Karen. Like, you live in your own retirement home. You're so old.
He's like, okay, for some reason on my computer, like my default keeps going to something called Safe Finder. Have you ever had this?
And what did you do?
I literally don't know what you're pushing. Like, this makes no sense. I don't know. He's got to change my Google settings. Anyway, it's a great documentary, and I have my own personal connection with the Church of Scientology because my ex-boyfriend was a product of the Church of Scientology. Yeah.
Whoa.
So we can even get into all that.
I didn't know that.
I see what's happening here with a lot of what was going
on. Oh, I'd love to do an episode on Scientology.
Family dynamic. Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow.
But yeah, it's really fascinating. You guys should watch it. It's really incredible. I think everybody should know about what's going on with this organization. I think it's
totally
valuable information to know.
Yeah.
We should do an episode on just like meditation and stuff too coming up.
Yeah. When we had Gad Elmaleh on, I think we named that episode meditation, but we could rename it and do an actual one devoted to it. But he talked about the power of meditation and I thought that was super helpful.
Yeah.
So anyway, continuing about the organizational deflector, as the company spirals, the adrenaline addict only works harder, trying to be convinced that the problem can be solved by working more hours at breakneck speed. Mm-hmm. They will do anything to avoid confronting the real problems, which are often more fundamental and require real change. It's so funny to read that after watching Fire Festival. If you guys watch it, like, that's exactly what happened. And then number four, the dramatist. Some adrenaline addicts get a degree of satisfaction from their addiction because it gives them an opportunity to draw attention to themselves and their plight. They will repeatedly complain about their overwhelming situation, seemingly in search of admiration or pity from anyone who will listen. Yeah.
Interesting.
I feel like you guys are definitely accomplishers.
I'm definitely the accomplisher, and
sure.
I think it started by deflecting.
Yes. I think it's a one and a two.
Yeah,
I think
it could be a combo because if I'm... you guys have mentioned like you're surprised like if I don't call you when I'm upset about something.
Yeah,
which it's so weird because this is probably part of this addiction is like my first thought is like, okay, how can I fix my problem? Let's get into that first. Right, and so my first thought isn't, oh, I'm going to call somebody because I'm upset and I want to talk about it. Because I'm like, well, that might take an hour of my time when I really want to just get down fixing the problem.
I do
and
that.
And then I can tell them after, oh, what a crazy day. It's resolved now, but this is what happened.
Oh, I see.
But I don't ever do it in the moment because for me, it's like I want to solve the problem by doing something. instead of just being that. And like sitting in.
I feel like talking to someone is doing something,
but not in my addict brain. You know what really? I mean? In my head, it's like, well, we can talk about this later, but what are you going to do about it? Let me fix it.
Venting, you know? Doesn't do anything for you. Like venting to somebody.
Not if I feel like I'm on a time crunch about something, which is okay. Every day.
I get that. I totally get that. I also I don't want this to sound braggy, but like I have a lot of amazing friends, and sometimes I like look at who I would talk to, and I'm like, I just feel overwhelmed at the thought of talking to anybody because yeah. I feel like if I tell this person, then I'm gonna have to tell that person, and then I'm gonna have to tell that person, and then tell that person, and then it's just like another to-do list. So I'm like, nope, I guess I'm just gonna deal with it on my own.
Yeah.
So I've been there before for sure.
Right.
I wanted to talk a little bit about like the treatment for overcoming this addiction. It says, like any other addiction, the first step is to acknowledge the problem and then declare a desire to eliminate it. The second step, which has been really important for me, I know, is for them to let their peers and subordinates know that they are trying to kick the habit because many of these people have become enablers over the years and have learned to play to the person's addiction. Those people must be given explicit permission to stop enabling the behavior.
Oh, yeah.
Let me know. I'm your subordinate.
Yeah, like
I'll keep you guys in check.
It is helpful though, right? Like once we're all in the know about like what we're all working on, it's like, are you sure you should be doing that?
Oh yeah,
and you take a moment.
We do keep each other in check. We've helped you a lot, Tay, with travel things. You're just like, somebody tell me I can cancel this, and we're like, yes, definitely cancel that.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's so helpful. Yeah, I usually text you guys, or I talk to Kyle, or I talk to Dustin about it, where I'm just like, is this worth it? And then it's helpful to have a group of people who know exactly how much I travel, how busy I am, and go like, no, don't do that. Yes. It's not worth it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I told one of the first people I told was my best friend, Melissa. I was like, I think I realized that I have an addiction. Like it goes beyond just like accomplishing things. And like, you know, I think it's a real problem. And once I told her, she's always been like, are you sure you can come to this? You know, you don't have to. Like she's very aware, and it's like, and I can be honest, like I could probably come to this thing tonight, but like, I'm just, I overbooked myself again and I have to take something off my plate. Like it's nice to be able not to come up with like excuses as to why you can't do shit anymore because the people that you love and care about you know what you're doing, like what you're working on, and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
it's enough to just be like, hey, I just don't have the energy to.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like, oh, I forgot I made an appointment and the doctor's at 9 p.m. Like, you can just be like, hey, I just can't.
I think I mentioned this on the podcast before, but I think Beth Stelling said that on, I think it was Ron Funch's podcast, which is very good. It's called Getting Better. And I think she said, like, I realized at one point, like, I don't owe anybody an explanation for canceling shows specifically. Like, you can just say, I can't make it. And that was so freeing to me.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, because I always thought, like, hey, man, like, I have a flight early in the morning. And it's like, even if you do have a great excuse, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The point is you're not coming.
Yeah.
So just communicate that, say you're sorry.
Yeah.
Apologize for the late notice if it's late notice, but like you don't have to go through, you don't have to write a essay about what a dickhead you feel like for canceling. Like it's just not necessary. And it's that pressure we put on ourselves to like keep everybody happy and liking us.
Right. I think as women too, there's another layer of that. I don't see that a ton with dudes when I've had like somebody cancel on me. If it's some sort of work related thing, it's just like, hey, like can't do it. Can we try another time? Like that's usually the kind of cancellation I'll get from a dude. But I feel like with women a lot, there's like this pressure to be really pleasant and like not hurt anybody's feelings and make sure everything's gonna be okay. And I hear that a lot.
I've really been working on just being comfortable with people not liking me.
Yeah.
Even if it's not true, but I just used to, I'm so scared of that all the time about people not liking me.
Too.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not worth it. I mean, I feel that way if I like somebody or if I've been close to them, like, there are people that I feel like, you know, have are weird with me now for whatever reason that I started with. And that still bothers me. But I mean, just like, it used to bother me if anybody might dislike, like anybody, someone who hosted a show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so, once you like let go of that.
Teach me your ways.
You just have to decide. You're just like, why does it even matter to me? Like, what is it going to change about my life if this tertiary person,
right,
who I spoke to once, I might speak to in passing once. Also, we live in LA. They're not going to be right. a jerk to your face.
Right.
They'll be nice to your face. Right. And it's like, right. it's just not worth any of the, like, there have even been people that I'm like, oh, I should like talk to them and see like if we're okay. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why? If yeah. you, if we're not okay and you don't like me, then I don't like you either. I have all my people.
Not even I have all like my you. People.
I just don't even care.
Right.
I don't even think about you. It's right, just yeah. not worth it. And even like people like reps, like we've talked about this. This is more of like a showbiz thing, but like people who represent you and stuff, mm-hmm. like we've talked about that. Like it's so difficult to always want to feel like, oh, my manager has to like me, my agent has to like me, they have to think I'm a hard worker. They don't care if you are a good person. They kind of care, but mostly they just want to make money
yeah.
off of you. So whatever you yeah. have to do to make them money, just do that.
Yeah.
And keep it profesh.
Yeah.
And then go hang out with your friends.
Yeah. 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 Oh man.
I always think about the core friendships. I'm like, yeah, if my core friendships are intact, I'm good.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
other ones may come and go. And I'm like, I've made peace with that.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Absolutely. Yeah, the whole like having people be kind of your sponsor, I guess. I guess that's what that is like having your friends or your people close to you being sponsors for like the adrenaline addiction. I kind of gave Kane that permission not that long ago, and we've hit a couple patches where like I realized that I gave him the permission, but I was fighting against it. And I was like, shit, this is so hard. Because when you're yeah. in one of those adrenaline moments where you're like, no, I have to do this, and you have somebody going, you actually don't, you're like, but I swear I have to. And he's like, I promise you, like, you don't actually have to do that.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And I'm learning that it's going to take time, but, it happens all the time. Like, it comes up so often with me.
Yeah.
I just went through not that long ago, a few weeks ago, there was kind of like a family emergency happening, and both my brother and Kane were like, we can just hire somebody to provide this care. And I was like, no, I got it. And they're like, are you sure? Cause that's a lot of work. But I was just like, yeah, no, I got it. And I didn't realize until afterward that that's like just more kind of adrenaline addiction and yeah. like getting myself overly involved in situations that I really like when it comes down to it could have asked for help.
Yeah. yeah.
And I think, maybe that's a weakness of people with adrenaline addiction too, is like not asking for people's help.
Totally.
And just thinking you can do it on your own.
Yeah. And even like I really recommend the Workaholics Anonymous books. They talk about like, look, if you're not giving up control, you can always remind yourself, like, there are other people who can probably do what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like if you think of a task, you could probably teach somebody, they might do it your way or even better.
Yeah.
If that's their like
yeah.
their specialty or whatever it is, it's like relinquish the control, see what happens. And even if it's not too up to your par, it's okay because yes. it's getting done and it might not be perfect, but like you don't have to take on every little part.
Yeah.
Of, you know, you're
totally you don't have to be on call all hours of the
yes,
night.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then to wrap it up, just a few healthy ways to relieve adrenaline addiction. If you're feeling like you're going through this and you want some like new things to try and have, I don't know, a healthier outlet. They say exercise. I mean, I know that's kind of like an obvious one, but it does make sense, particularly for adrenaline addiction. Like if you go run, chances are you're going to come back and feel like you kind of worked out some of that,
mm-hmm.
that yeah. feeling of like wanting to fucking push and rush. Meditate. We've talked about that a lot. Taking breaks from social media, because social media is just one giant adrenaline game.
Oh yeah.
It's yeah. nonstop getting little feedback, little buzzes, little likes. Mm-hmm. And so it's really easy to like get swept up in that and feel like your worth is completely determined by social media. So yeah. taking a break from that. And I think that's all I've got on it. But
yeah, I highly recommend the Wim Hof breathing method. I've been doing this every day and it has been awesome. You can just, he's on YouTube under Wim Hof.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch videos. You probably have heard of him. Maybe not. I think they refer to him as like the Iceman. This is the guy who like climbed Everest in shorts and barefoot and shit.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like he is nuts, but like
oh my God.
Awesomely nuts. And he has studies that he's done. Like his method is like backed up by science. There was a study they did where they like half the people, everybody was injected with like the flu. Okay. The flu, whatever. And half the people did his like breathing method with him every day and half people didn't. everybody who didn't got sick, and everybody who did his methods with him did not get sick.
Oh wow,
it's pretty incredible. Like he basically is like, you have way more control of your immune system than you even realize, and it's a great breathing method where you're just like basically breathing in three steps, like with your whole body. And it gives you like a boost of energy, and it really just like relaxes you, makes your, it feels like it makes my day better.
Can you say the name of it again?
Yeah. If you just Google or YouTube Wim Hof, W-I-M-H-O-F-F, I believe he's got a whole YouTube channel. He's awesome. I would love to like just get into some of his, like the studies that they've done with him. But yeah, it's great. Like, whew. I did not get sick the whole holiday season because I was using that method after like seeing family members and stuff. It's freaking great. And you feel like a little bit high after because you're doing some like deep, heavy breathing.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going to feel a little high on your own supply, basically. I think it's from like the Netherlands or something. It's great. Anyway, highly recommend him. Yeah.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Well, I think that's it for this week. I've got some show dates to plug. Taylor, you have some show dates too?
Yeah, this comes out...
this comes out on Monday, February 4th.
Next week. Okay, great. Yeah, I am I'm going to be in Portland at Helium Comedy Club, February 14th through 16th. So that's very exciting. And then I'm going to be at... I'm in Grand Rapids next month for Gilda's Laugh Fest, March 7th through 9th. And I'm at the DC Improv, March 21st through 24th.
Sweet. I'll be headlining at the Parlor in Bellevue, Washington on Thursday the 7th, so Thursday of this week. And then the following weekend is when both Taylor and I are going to be in the Pacific Northwest. So I know we have some people on our Facebook group messaging that they're going to go to our shows, which is so fun.
Aww, nice.
I will be headlining, I believe it's the Washington Performing Arts Center in Olympia on Thursday the 14th. And then I'll be headlining the Comedy Underground in downtown Seattle, February 15th through the 17th. And that's when Kane will be featuring for me. So go to kelseycook.com for tickets and other tour dates.
Oh yeah. TTomComedy.com for tour dates. Sweet. And all that stuff.
DicksByDelaney.com for dick mugs. DelaneyFisher.com for Love at First Cousin comedy special. And follow me on Instagram to see pictures of my new puppy.
Yay! Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Love you. Bye. You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there. A little bit about the show. Our individual sites are linked there. And our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, kelseycook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
And I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and ttomcomedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.